Okay, once again, good morning, everyone. We're going to start our availabilities for today. We're happy to have team owner Rick Ware along with drivers Corey LaJoy and Cody Ware of Rick Ware Racing. Gentlemen, results aside, you guys had a very strong run in the Daytona 500. Corey, you led laps and were in the mix. And Cody, you were on the cusp of a top five, you know, just before the very end. But focusing on this weekend, each of you come into Atlanta with new partner announcements, Air Medcare Network on the number 01 Ford Mustang with Corey, and then RB's coming on as a 12-race anchor partner on the number 51 with Cody. Corey, we'll start with you. It seems like you accomplished just about everything you wanted to at Daytona. And so how do you carry that momentum here into Atlanta, a track that you've had, you know, good success at?
Yeah, thanks. You know, Daytona, like you said, we checked every box that we set down there to do. And when we went down there, our goal was to put ourselves in that spot and give us a shot to win. And we were about a mile away, legitimately, after 499 miles of doing that. So I can't say enough about the guys at the shop that built that car, that we came out of the box with a lot of speed, and that really allowed us over the course of the weekend last weekend to go do what we want to do and execute. And also kind of sets up everything that I'm trying to do with you know, that Rick's allowing me to do with this Stack and Penny's performance of getting new brands into the sport, such as Air Medcare Network and other partners that have continued to sponsor me the last several years, to continue to grow those relationships just to see what the future holds. So Daytona was great, but I've also been even closer to winning here at Atlanta. That's why we circled this one to come here with Air Medcare Network to go to contend and put ourselves in the same spot we did last week.
And Cody, you know, through a lot of adversity that Speed Weeks threw at you, you were essentially where you wanted to be near the end of the 500. And as said, you and Corey both showed speed. Is that, you know, indicative of the gains that RWR has made this offseason?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that even last year in 24, our Super Speedway program was pretty stout. And I feel like on the 51 team, we did everything we said we were going to do. Obviously, qualifying in the duels didn't work out quite like we wanted to, but we put ourselves in contention to win the race just like we have several times in the past at Daytona. So definitely heartbreaking. I felt like we actually made our way through that crash, and then at the last minute got caught up in the end with the 54 car coming off the wall. So frustrating, but I think, you know, to Corey's point, we also are going to have a lot of speed this weekend. This is another plate style package we have going into Atlanta this weekend, and feel like we can do more of the same, and hopefully I can join Corey up front and get into the lead quick here on Sunday.
And Rick, speaking on the team as a whole, it's definitely noticeable, you know, the work that's been put into RWR year after year, specifically on track, you know, as we saw last week at Daytona, and then off track with the new partners that you're bringing on this week. How important are these moments for your race team and, you know, the ultimate vision that you have for it moving forward?
Well, these are really important times for a smaller team, and to, you know, have an anchor partner like Arby's has been a long working process. So it's fortunate that we could get it put together and debut it kind of in their backyard. And, you know, the growth of the team, as I think a lot of people know here, you know, we've been working hard over several years and have been taking baby steps. And this is an extremely competitive sport. And coming into this year, you know, we kind of had some plans to focus on some of the places that we know we can run really good. And of course, you know, one of our biggest stages is the first race of the year. So with this scenario we put together with RFK and their alliance, things have gone really, really well. We worked something out to kind of put them in a good situation for a chartered car, which meant we had to go back as an open car. So we wanted to stick to the plan that it's worked really good with RWR in the past with the way we run with the primary car. And we had talked back and forth with Corey, and he was part of our program last year and did a fantastic job for us. And it's been a while since I've had to race my way in as an open, and I missed it, I think, by one spot several times over the last several years. And a few of those times I've been on the wrong side of racing against Corey through that as well. And going into it, I'm like, I'm going to put myself in a good situation and give him everything he needs. And, you know, you can never count on getting in for sure, but I felt fairly optimistic, and Corey did a fantastic job. We had two really different plans that I'm just thankful that it worked out. And to Corey's point, 499 miles later, we had two cars you could throw a blanket over, and I did let my guard down the last mile because I did actually get a little excited. But so
did I. Yeah. 8 to go, I got a little excited.
So, but you know, there was a time I was telling Robbie Benton that you know, to come out with two top 25s would be like, you know, hey, there had been a time when it's like, whew, man, I'll take it and we'll go. But we were disappointed because you know, there are certain places that we can run good. And it's been a long working process, but man, the people we have at the shop is just fantastic that have helped me to get here.
All right, well, now we're going to open up for a few questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. We'll go over here to Bob, then we'll go to Jordan here on the right.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Corey, with the run at Daytona, does that increase any sort of talk about you as far as any extra races or what your schedule will be this year?
Certainly helps. You know, anytime you can run good and contend for wins, that gets your existing partners fired up, and it also allows you to put together some really cool marketing decks, you know, with the 01 lead in the field at the 500 to go try to sell a couple more. I think collectively between Rick and I, you know, there's a balance between, you know, having that second car, my car, be an asset to what the 51's trying to do. And without bogging the shop down and what their turnover rate is and their process to try to get the 51 prepared each and every week the best it can be, we want to pick and choose the races that are an asset, but also something we feel like we can go contend like we did this week, whether it's Darlington's or Martinsville's. But we're having some really good conversations with partners, and we want to make sure we're choosing and pick the right ones and the right races to go best execute.
Go over here with the right, Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This question's for Rick, and I guess Corey would probably chime in as well on this. Obviously, new sponsor this week in Arby's. What are you seeing, Rick, from the sponsorship side of things in terms of companies either being more interested or less interested? What's the market like right now, hunting for sponsors in this new era of NASCAR with the charter agreement signed and everything?
I'd say the marketing side of it is very bullish right now. You know, we're obviously one of the smaller teams, and we're having dramatically more conversations than we typically have in the past. Now, that doesn't mean that you close them all, but the interest is there. And so I think that's what's important across the board. I think there's so much competition out there in media and marketing opportunities that the dollar figures aren't quite what they used to be. I think we've all seen that. I think you see even some of the cornerstone cars that it's tough to see primary sponsors all year anymore. So you see people doing blocks of sponsorships. For ourselves to be able to get some of the sponsors that we've grown over the last 3 and 4 years to expand them, I've been able to just survive based kind of on the platform, our motorsports platform. It allows me to do a value add. And Arby's was a perfect example. We put together a test market with, you know, our global supercross program, our flat track program, our top fuel program, and the NASCAR program to kind of weigh out the benefits. My opinion is every sport has benefits that some other sports don't. Obviously, the Cup Series is the 800-pound gorilla. That's the cornerstone of motorsports, especially in this country, and, you know, I think we're going to expand that globally here in the years to come. But as a sponsor, they have different needs at different times, and some forms of motorsports are more user-friendly than others for different kinds of things. So that's what's allowed us to kind of keep growing. It also helps in that it's a little bit harder to steal those sponsors when you have more to offer, right? So that's always been very important. But I know if we're getting the kind of response and inquiries with where we are in motorsports, it's got to be even better the farther up you get up the top. So overall, this the market is fantastic, and it's allowed us to even be able to put together additional things at a high level for an open car like we did with Corey that typically just haven't been able to happen at our level. You know, if you're a Hendrick or something, or you decide to run an extra car for a program, that's a little bit different ask. But I think it's just it shows the shows where people are perceiving NASCAR Cup Series right now.
Yeah, and on my end, you know, I've been lucky enough to, with the help of Leanne, who's been with me since BK, you know, we've had four or five partners, Sluder, Celsius, Air Medcare Network's been with us 3 or 4 years. We've been able to go very deep in terms of how integrated we've got with the brands, with personal service agreements, but also integrating on the race car too. So that's really and truly what we've continued to, instead of casting a wide net and getting one race from six or seven people, man, really went deep and really integrated, you know, the Stack and Penny's brand, the podcast with each and every one of our partners. And that's really and truly what's allowed us to kind of get this thing off the ground. It's a weird position to be back where I was about 4 or 5 years ago. I had a nice little window of time where I can concentrate on being a race car driver and just get paid to do that. But I'm back into sales mode. And to be honest, it's kind of fun because you can kind of have different conversations than what you've had. And personally, I'm having some great conversations with some really interesting brands. So we'll see what comes out of that.
And then, Rick, NASCAR this year is, you know, going to a streaming service for 5 races. As you're having these conversations with companies, what's been the feedback from them? Is that something they're interested in? Is there been more of a concern about, you know, are they going to, how many people are going to be watching this? What's kind of with the perception out there as you're having these talks about streaming races?
I think everybody has questions. I haven't had anything remotely on concerns. I think there's a little bit of cautious optimism in that. You know, every new network has a little different idea how they want to go about doing things. So, again, for a smaller team, it creates a little bit of an opportunity to do some things differently, which I'm hoping that we can be part of, to have some unique storylines. I think, you know, if there's 4 or 5 different networks, they all have a different idea how they want to go about doing it, and it allows us to be able to come in with ideas and offer platforms and different storylines. So we've been leveraging it, on all honesty, to give other opportunities. You know, I don't want to get the dates mixed up, but, you know, the 5 races leading into the $1 million shootout that I think is starting, I think at Charlotte, with, I think you're announcing.
I think it's TNT.
Yeah,
right?
so going in, yeah, those.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the point started at Charlotte, I think. But anyway, but you know, that's another storyline. That's something else to talk about, and it's something to focus when we've put together our packages, and we purposely have left a couple of those races open, in I believe in I think it's Pocono and Michigan, et cetera, because there may be some different opportunities because of that. So it's been a positive. I know there's a lot of questions of you know, is the streaming viewership going to be different than the network? It very well could be. Ultimately, is it going to be better for the sport? It very well could be. So I think the power ups in NASCAR are working hard to make the most of every one of those decisions, and it's, you know, so far it's been very positive.
All right, we're going to come over here to Jordan, then we're going to go to Lee, and then Dustin.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. Rick, for you, you know, you've been around the garage for a long time, and I've talked to both these guys about the trajectory of Rick Ware Racing and your footprint across multiple platforms. Can you just talk about how that kind of kicked off and where you think this is going? Because we see you battling up front. We saw him battling up front last year, you know, in certain races. So Does the cross promotion that you're talking about with NHRA and other flat track and other things that you're doing, does that help NASCAR? Does NASCAR help them, or is this just a consolidated effort of RWR to become a powerhouse in racing?
Well, there's a couple of different questions in there. I think in the first part, we probably need to address the addiction problem of racing first off. You to kind of go what we've been through over the years to get to where we are now, and believe me, I know we still have a long way to go. You have to love it and have to have a passion. Because I grew up around different forms of racing early on in my years, you know, I had an affinity and a love of it, and I also understood about the nuances of it. Literally, I feel like we probably wouldn't have had Arby's if I was just in NASCAR. Reason being, you know, we had Parts Plus. I think we finished 4th with the Parts Plus last year, I think at, at Daytona. And they had never spent any money outside of drag racing, I think, for 10 or 11 years. So we started putting together some programs of not to take away from the drag racing program, but to expand, because racing enthusiasts are just that. And corporate America loves to be at the 50-yard line at the Super Bowl. They love to go to the basketball playoff games. They like to go to the Daytona 500s, et cetera. So by offering this, you cover a wide spectrum of opportunities. We end up having about 100 venues coast to coast that different distributors, buyers, sellers, and sometimes just people that are race fan related within the industry that they can always go to. Now, if you're a race team, at the end of the day, you go racing because you want to win. We need to be realistic in what wins are for us. I mean, right now, you know, it's a win for us to have top 10s and top 20s and top 5s and to go for wins. But we still need to, on a Monday or Tuesday, be able to have those stories to tell. And we do that. We, you know, we won the World Championship in Supercross, and we won the U.S. Nationals last year in Top Fuel, and we won the Flat Track Championship. That's you know, it's a fantastic asset because it's on Fox Sports 1, just like the Truck Series is in Fox is here now. So those are all things that when you co-combine the platform we have, it's important for a small team to be able to show pictures of hoisting trophies, you know, people on podiums, and, you know, even if we don't win at a NASCAR race, you know, Corey led last year for us at Talladega. Cody led last year for us at Talladega. You know, Justin led laps last year at the 500, and Corey led this year. So those are all things that you add to it. So it's imperative for my survival, I believe, to have a strong platform. And we've been able to get enough sponsorship in the other series to be able to be at that level. This is a very expensive sport here. We're making strides every single day. And it's not always just about money. It's about manufacturer support and the people. And I don't want to drag this on too long, but it's a little bit of a complicated question. But it's very important for me to survive with the platform we have, because if you're coming to talk to me about something, or you're a company like this with Arby's, in order to get to that through that front door, you're going to have to beat what we can do for them in a marketing standpoint, you know, for over the course of a season.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you for your time, and good luck for the rest of the weekend and the season.
Thank you, guys.